Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door. And he preached the word to them. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, they opened up the roof above him. After they had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there asking themselves, "Why does this man speak this way? He's blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves. So he said, "Why are you thinking such things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, pick up your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said, turning to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home." He rose, picked up his mat at once, and went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astounded and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This first week of Ordinary Time, we have been seeing Jesus calling, preaching, healing, forgiving. Pope Francis has said on several occasions that everything Jesus does, all of this, has one final aim: ultimately to reconcile all things in himself. That's the purpose why he does it all. And today we come to the summit of that mission. This beautiful scene in which friends carrying their buddy who was paralyzed, not being able to get him into Jesus' presence, just couldn't wait and wouldn't take no for an answer. So with incredible dexterity, lift their paralyzed man who wouldn't be able to defend himself against a fall, carefully up on a roof, take off the roof in order to lower him down, literally right on top of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, as many of the saints have said, their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven." We learn three things here. The first is the priority of forgiveness of sins, priority of mercy in Jesus' mission. The friends obviously wanted their pal's paralysis healed. Jesus had something far more important in mind. We should always keep that in mind, the primacy of the forgiveness of sins. It's the whole point of Jesus' mission, because without it, there's no chance of eternal life. The second is the real love of these friends, bringing someone they knew needed what Jesus alone could give to Jesus, and overcoming the obstacles that were thrown in their path. The Lord's calling us to be friends in that same way, in our prayer and in our action, bringing people to Jesus for him to reconcile them in the ways that they need to the Father. And then the third is extraordinary gratitude for all those who consistently have and continue to bring us to Jesus. The Blessed Mother constantly praying for us. The saints, fellow sisters and priests, our friends, our family. How grateful we are that they brought us to get to know Jesus and to get to know him more deeply. But Jesus has come to reconcile us of every paralysis, but most importantly, the spiritual, the greatest sin that makes us lame, we get in today's first reading. It's the sin of not wanting God to reign. The sin of wanting to be in charge. The sin of not wanting to be like God, but rather like everybody else. It's a sin against God and against ourselves at the core. They wanted a king, and they begged Samuel to do so, so that they would be like other nations. And God recognized quite clearly that they were rejecting him and wanting to have a king. So God sent Samuel to read them the fine print, which he made bold in 72 point. Here will be the rights of the king. He's going to take your children. He's going to make you plow and harvest his fields. He's going to make you make his weapons, cook for him, bake for him. He's going to rip off, just like Ahaz against his neighbor, your fields, your vineyard, your olive grove, and give them as graft as officials. He's going to tax your crops and your vineyards and give them even to his slaves. He's going to take your servants, your best animals, and use them for his own selfish purpose. And he's even going to make you his slave. And the response was, where do we sign up for this awesome deal? They were so addicted to their wanting to be like everybody else that they didn't recognize what they had. God ruling over them through the judges he was continuously sending. They didn't want God reigning. It's the fundamental sin. They want to do it their way. We want to do it our way. We want to obey ourselves. We want to obey worldly gurus. We don't really want to follow God. From the first sin of Adam and Eve to our most recent sin, that's what's involved. But Jesus wants to heal us of that paralysis. He comes on in to bring us into his kingdom. He wants us to bring others to be able to experience his liberation. Today the church celebrates the feast of St. Anthony of the Desert, who shows us how to live in the kingdom of the King and to bring others to experience that same freedom. St. Anthony, when he was 18, as you know, we read it in this morning's breviary. After the death of his parents, after he had inherited everything, after he had every means to be in charge, went to church and he heard the gospel of the rich young man. If you wish to be perfect, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and you'll be rich in heaven. And then come follow me. And he heard those words as words to be done, because he had gone there to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I want to live in your kingdom. And this was the path. And even though it was hard, off he went and he sold all his property and gave it to the poor, except a little portion that he kept for his sister. It's very important to love your sister. But the following day, as you know, he returned. And that's when he heard the Sermon on the Mount being proclaimed, why do you worry about tomorrow? So he sold even that last portion, had his sister join the community of the Sisters of Life of the ancient third century, and follow the Lord without reserve, living fully in his kingdom, doing battle against whatever tendencies in him wanted to be in charge. Soon many came out to see him, to be able to tune themselves to the same king reigning in the present. The church has always looked at St. Anthony as one who shows us how to allow God to rule through how he teaches us in sacred scripture. He was one who, at his vocation, heard God's words and acted on them immediately. But that was the way he was throughout life. His first biographer, St. Athanasius, said he used to assiduously listen to scripture. And he no longer even needed the book because he'd essentially memorized it all. So much had it taken on his own flesh. When Pope Benedict wrote Verbum Domini, his post-synodal apostolic exhortation on the Word of God and the life and the mission of the Church, when he was talking about how the lives of the saints are a viva lectio, as a real reading of sacred scripture put into flesh, the first of all the saints he pondered was St. Anthony of the Desert, specifically from the time of his vocation. That saints take the word of God seriously and allow God to reign through how he guides in this extraordinary gift. St. Anthony's life formed so many other saints, most notably St. Athanasius and St. Augustine, and through them so many others, but how to obey the Lord through hearing his words as words to be done. We've mentioned before, but Sister Leonie is here and she's never heard it, that there's no distinction in Hebrew between to hear and to obey. It's the exact same word, shema. That when we're hearing the Lord's word, we need to be hearing it always as something to be obeyed for our own good. That we're listening to the King who out of love is giving us a kingdom precisely through those commands. And in Latin, the word audire, to hear, is intensified with the prefix ob, to listen attentively. And ob audire is obedience. So that's the way we enter the kingdom. St. Anthony shows us this path. At the end of today's gospel, there's a beautiful command that Jesus gives that doesn't get all that much attention. Jesus says to the man he is twice healed, I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home. That word rise is the same word for resurrection. Jesus was giving him, through the forgiveness of sins, a participation in his triumph over death through forgiving what causes death, sin. That's why Jesus would found the sacrament of confession on Easter Sunday night. Pick up your mat. He's going to give him work to do. He's no longer going to be crippled, needing to be carried to others. But that mat would now be able to be an instrument of charity. He would be able to go out and carry others and go home. He wanted this man to be able to go back home and live this new life together with the King. The Lord always says to us, get up, share in my resurrection. What you used to think were instruments of your shame, use them as weapons of charity. And go to those with whom you live. And bring them into the kingdom. Today, as we receive him here, we respond to him saying, thy kingdom come, and ask him for the grace to do this in his memory.